This is Pastor Wayne Waycaster. I hope you enjoy the message that's about to come your way, and I hope it's a blessing to you, or I hope it's a conviction message that will bring you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
I don't know that I'll be before you very long this morning, but I've got a couple of things on our mind that we want to impart to you, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've preached on this time and again, of course. Man preached as long as I have. He's covered most of the subjects, the common things anyway. Now, there's a lot of uncommon things in the Bible that I haven't covered yet, and I don't know that I'll ever preach at all, but I want to preach the Word of God and the things that the Lord has. This is not what I was going to have studied on, and it's not what I thought I was going to preach on this morning, but the Lord changed my mind, and I'm not afraid of that. I'm never afraid of that. When God changes my mind, when I've got up back in my early ministry, and I'd just start trying to preach on what I'd studied and everything, and after a while, I'd just get almost get a lockjaw, and God draw me right back in what He wanted me to preach. And I appreciate the Lord today. He's so much to me today that I could never explain it to you. But you pray just a little while this morning, and we'll. I'll be taking our text out of the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter. And we'll start with the 5th verse in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Very familiar scripture to folks that read the Bible very much. Give you just a moment to find that. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 in the beginning. Then said I, woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. As I began to look at that scripture, and there was a message that needed to go out, known down in the next few verses, the next verse or so. The command was to go, and it's to tell, and to hear, and not particularly to understand, but to hear. If you hear the Word of God, and sometimes we have to condition ourselves, if we hear the Word, we have to condition ourselves to receive the Word. I mean, although we've heard it, we need to condition ourselves to receive it. And so Isaiah here, and he was a righteous man, a prophet of God, and God needed a man to send out, somebody to send out, and couldn't find anybody. And he said, whom will I send? Well, Isaiah said, I sure can't go. Have you ever been in that shape? Have you ever been in that shape in your Christian life to where the Lord's told you to do something and you said, Lord, I can't. I'm just not capable. I'm not clean enough. I'm not equipped enough. I've found myself in that condition many times. And I've also found myself in the condition of repentance, as Isaiah did. Lord, I can't go. I just can't go. I'm a man of unclean lips. Now the Lord didn't send a physical angel to me, as he did maybe to Isaiah, but he touched my heart and cleansed my heart and forgave me my iniquities, and then I was conditioned to go. See, I heard the Word, and I had to condition myself to receive it. And then when I did in repentance, why, the next thing was, Lord, send me. And I don't know if we're willing or not this morning to do what God wants us to do. I tell you, as the brother said a while ago, we're the quietest people in the world. There's not much, and I preached just a week, for 2 weeks on the same subject. No joy. We've lost our joy for some reason. Now, you can't suppress joy. Did you ever notice that when maybe you get a great gift or something, and especially you young folk that's graduating school, maybe you got in the car for your graduation or something. Boy, you're so elated, you just jump and holler and go on all the time. Well, let me tell you something, salvation is much greater than a car. It'll bring you more joy than a car will. Amen. Listen, salvation don't leave you every other day with a dollar here and a dollar there like a car does. It'll, you know, it'll bring joy to you. And I thought about this. And Isaiah said, I just can't go, Lord. I ain't ready to go. In other words, and what was a man of God doing among an unclean people? That's, you know. But let me tell you something. You dwell among an unclean people, and you and I have to do it every day in our labor work. Every day of our lives, we have to mix with unclean people. Amen. And if you're not very careful, we'll fall in the same condemnation that we'll let their things, amen, the things that condemn them, we'll let them come inside of us. And God's Holy Spirit, bless God, will condemn our hearts. And then we go to church and we try to rejoice and we can't because our hearts are laden with iniquity. Amen. I'm telling you, just like the Word of God says here, Isaiah said, and the angel said, now your sins are purged. Amen. You have to repent. And repent means to turn away from. To turn away from that. And so I looked at Isaiah's life here, and I don't know why he was where he was at, I guess. A common life, probably. He wasn't no man of great authority or anything other than he was a prophet of God. And I thought about his life and why would he have to associate himself with an unclean people. Well, I know exactly why, because that's where God wanted. But let me tell you something. Isaiah's life was just like mine and yours. It was weak at times, and he was overtaken by an unclean people, dwelling among an unclean people. And we have to pray in the day that we live in. We have to constantly stay in prayer to God that we may... I think about a little song, you know, that the children used to sing. Little feet, be careful where you take me to. Hands, be careful what you handle. Eyes, be careful what you see. Ears, be careful what you hear. Amen. We have to be careful in the day that we're living in. The filth of the world will infiltrate us. If we don't have a shield of glory and power of God about us. Now, we're getting back into the Sunday school class, the lesson today. The Apostle Paul had to have a shield around him, amen? I mean, but because the things and the temptations that were around him would have drained him of the power that was in him. But he had always had a constant relationship with God. I think of the night the Apostle Paul, a lot of times he'd steal away and pray because he taught that pray without ceasing. And I believe that at nighttime when everybody else was asleep and taking their ease, I believe the Apostle Paul was up praying and talking to the Lord because he didn't know what was the following day would bring on him, because he was in a position, just as Isaiah was in a position, that he could be tempted all day long. And you have to have the strength and power of God in you, even in the day that we live in, to resist those temptations. I mean, have you ever taken somebody from well, let me take Orth and Millie for just a moment. They're from out of state normally, and they've got an accent or a small accent. And did you ever notice if you're around folk like that after a while, you'll start talking like them? You'll pick up that accent and start talking like them. Or in a sense, of course, you'll never perfect it like they do, but... You'll start talking in that way. For same way with us in the world. If we hang around with an unclean crowd all the time, the next thing our conversation will be unclean, amen, and our hearts will be unclean, and then iniquity abounds, and God will not hear us. I believe one of the writers said, if I harbor iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I hide iniquity, you'll not hide it. Not from God anyway. Oh, you may put a pretense up before everybody else, and even your church members and your church family, you may put a pretense up and make like everything's all right, but listen, God knows. And your countenance will show that there's a problem with your life because you don't have the fellowship and you don't have the close relationship with one another like that you need to have or that you ought to have as a Christian or a family member of God's family. So we can't hide that. But Isaiah, a man that was anointed of God to be a prophet of God, a wise man, but yet he found himself not willing or not able to go to do the work of God. I wonder how many of us would even seek after the work of God. How many of us in the day that we have a desire to do the work of God? I'm not just talking about going to church every day. I'm not talking about just reading the Bible every day. I'm talking about doing the work of God, being an evangelist for God, amen? You say, well, I'm not ordained. Listen, if you're called of God and saved, you've been ordained, amen? A God has ordained you to be a minister of the gospel, amen? And it may not be from a pulpit, and it may not be from a standing of a reverend before your name or whatever, but let me tell you something. We're all witnesses for God. We're witnesses for one way or the other, for God or for Satan, one. Amen? Because your life and your words will tell on you how you're living. Oh, you say, well, my church people, you see, they may not hear your conversation, but then the actions from your accountants will show what you've been into. Maybe not the very thing, but it'll be out of the will of God. And we think we're hiding it, but let me tell you who's hurt by it is the pastor and the little children. See, I can't see the things the children see. The only things that I get grieved over my heart is what God reveals to me. See, that grieves my heart. If Robbie's doing wrong or Brother Randy or anybody's doing wrong and God reveals that to me, that just breaks my heart. So here I am crying on my pillow at night and praying for restoration, but the little children see it all. They see it all. Hey man, you can't hide. My wife said one time, you can't fool a little child. If you don't have love, they won't have nothing to do with you. You just can't get them, you just can't win them without love. But if you love them, they're very easy persuaded, you know, to have friendship with you. And we quit a church, and she said, I'll never get attached to another kid. Her heart was broken. She's crying. And I'll never get attached to no more children. I went to pastor in another church, and in 2 weeks, I looked back in the congregation, there's about seven of them trying to climb on her. They was either on her lap, on her arms, or something. And I suddenly, just kind of suddenly mentioned after church, I said, you're not going to get attached no more? She said, shut up. In other words, I don't need reminding of what I said. That's what she was saying, in essence. But here Isaiah was, in a place and a position of being a minister of the gospel of God. Hey man, and God's saying go, and he said, I can't go. Well, let me tell you something. There's so many people that are going that are not able to go or not equipped to go, that they'd be better off saying to God, I just ain't able to go. Amen. I'm not equipped to go. I'm not clean enough to go. Instead of going and being a hypocrite. See, oh, we think we can make everybody believe in us, but you can't do that. You can't do that, especially a sinner. They see through your unrighteousness quicker than a religious person will. And I like what he said, the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, saw the instrument that was necessary for the job. And he went to the altar, and there was a tongs laying there on the altar. And he picked the tongs up, and he got a coal from the altar of God, the fiery altar of God. And he took it. It was so hot he couldn't handle it with his hand. So this is an angel I'm talking about. He walked to Isaiah, and he just touched it on his mouth. Just touched it to him. And that was just an outward appearance of an inward cleansing. That's all it was, an outward appearance of an inward cleansing. And I suppose, I don't know if there was any flinching going on. I guess the iniquity in him which was abounding in him, I guess the iniquity in him probably made him flinch a little bit. But it didn't stop the angel, because God needed a man. God needed a person. God needs a person today out of this congregation to go out and tell somebody about the love of God. Then we say, we are not ready. We're not equipped. I've heard it so many times, I just can't talk to people. I'm a snoop. I'll snoop around. I'll hear a conversation coming out of your mouth. And I'm tempted, I don't do it all the time to save embarrassment, but I'm tempted sometimes to say, well, I thought you said you couldn't talk. I did to a person one time, and I said, I thought you told me you couldn't talk. Well, they said, I can't about Jesus. I said, you know why you can't? You don't know him. You just don't know him. If you know my Lord, he's done something more precious to you than anything that's ever happened in your life. And I brag about my wife constantly. Everybody that I see, and I brag about her and how sweet she is to me, and how that I'm blessed by God putting her in my life and all that. I'm constantly talking about that to people. Because it's a good thing that happened to me. But there's a better thing that happened to me when Jesus come into my life. And so I've got much more to talk about Jesus than I have my wife. Well, she's with me every day and every night. But sometimes I get in my truck and leave the house and she's not with me, but he's with me always, even unto the end. I thought I was going to need him this past week. Awful close. I stepped off of a bank. We were doing some grading there, and I stepped on the edge of it, and it gave away, and I fell right about 3 feet down into a place where we graded. And I was laying there in the dirt, and I looked up, and here come the dozer at me backwards, and I knew I had to move. I didn't have time to check myself and see if there's anything broke or hurt or bleeding. I just knew that what was going to happen was worse than what had happened, amen, because... And I said to myself, I'm going to either have to get up or roll. I had to make a split decision. I had to get up. And because the driver wasn't looking. He was backing up because he had a 100-foot pad there to run on. He didn't have to back up. I didn't have to look backwards, amen, to see where he was going. But here I lay there, and I all of a sudden I realized I had to make a decision. I either roll or get up and get out of the way. But there was a little voice in me said, move, move. And I moved. Come to find out, it wasn't even hurt. Wasn't even hurt. A little skin off my knee, but there wasn't nothing. But see, I put myself in that danger, in harm's danger. And I didn't get myself out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and got me out. Amen. See, so, Isaiah was in a place where he was damaging his own spirituality. Now, folks, you can't do that. Listen, you can't stay in a place where you're damaging your spiritual being. If you are, then the label on your title is going to be a backslider. That's what happened to Israel. They got to fooling around with other gods and whoring after strange flesh. Amen. And they went in, and the next thing you know, they wound up in captivity. And that's what will happen to every one of us in the day that we live in. Spiritually, it'll happen to us if we're not careful of our lives. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved now and forever. That's a denominational teaching, and that's not out of the Word. That's not out of the Word. You gotta stay in this thing. Amen. You gotta endure in this thing to the end. I mean, it's something that's an endurance. And the Bible said, and he laid it up on my lips, touched my lips. And he said, thy iniquity is taken away. I believe he felt like one of them fellows that just got out of prison. Man, I believe he just felt light as a feather. I know I did when all of my iniquities were taken away. And even now when I laden myself with iniquity and I come in a repentant spirit to God and ask His forgiveness, I feel light. I mean, I feel like the whole world is unloaded off of me. And what a wonderful joy it is to know that He's a forgiving God. That He is a forgiving God. And then he heard the voice of the Lord again. Said, "Whom shall I send?" I think that God is saying to some folk in Reedtown Church today, "Whom shall I send?" Who's willing to go, in other words? Who's willing to do? I think we ought to just come around the altar and have a repenting session with God. And then I think that when you hear the voice of the Lord, "Whom shall I send?" you'll say, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me." Oh, I can't drive and get around from house to house. Wonderful technology in the world today called the telephone. Reach out and touch someone. Amen. I believe it's time that we use the facilities that God has allowed us for His glory. Instead of being a tale bearer or a bearer of bad news or whatever, be a bearer of good news. Amen. Tell the good news of Jesus. And you might be surprised the effects that it'll have on your people, on your acquaintances. He just told Isaiah, he said, "Go and tell." And hear what I tell you, and you tell them what I tell you. That's all God's asking of us. God's saying, "Speak, be a mouthpiece for me," in other words. Let me use you as a vessel to bring honor to the Lord of glory. I'm amazed today that God is so long-suffering with us. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed that God is mindful of us all constantly. I'm amazed at the Holy Spirit of God. Are you amazed at God today? Has He done anything amazing that amazes you? Have you had an experience with God that really amazes you? I'll tell you, when the Lord saved me, I was amazed at the change that took place. A little old mountain boy that was backward as he could be, and he wouldn't speak to nobody, and he ran all the time to be out of constant touch with anybody, and wanted to hide myself all the time. And the Lord saved me, and it wasn't an overnight thing, but it began gradually. And my mother said to me one day, said, "Yeah, there's something changed about you." Said, "Have you had something in school?" I said, "No, it happened at church. When the Lord saved me, He began to change me." And it was a constant growth thing, and I grew and grew into this thing. And the more I talked about to people about the Lord and witnessed about my conversion, the stronger I got, the more I desired to tell somebody. And you know something, the more I desired, the more God put people in my way till I could tell them about Jesus. And I'll never get this told. I'll never get the story, all of the story told, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep telling until I hear the call from heaven, and then I'm going to fly away to be with the Lord. I'm going to home now, and don't weep, don't weep and mourn and go on. I told my wife, it would just be pleasing to me if nobody cried at my funeral. If everybody just rejoiced, and I said, well, my enemies will rejoice because I'm gone, and my friends ought to rejoice because they know where I'm going. Amen? So there ought to be a lot of rejoicing at my passing, and I know the devil, you know, he'll be glad. He'll be glad to get rid of me because he knows he ain't going to win the soul. Amen. He tries and tries and tries, but he knows he ain't going to because, you know something, when he gets even close and when I feel a least bit of temptation, you know the verse of Scripture that I claim, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know something, I resist the devil and he flees from me. Oh, preacher, you mean you're not tempted? Oh, my Lord, yes. Temptations is constantly around me, surrounding me constantly. But I'm glad of the strength of the Holy Ghost of God that's in me to keep me, amen, keep me from the temptations of life. But I feel like Isaiah sometimes. I feel like I get myself in a position where I'm among a bunch of unclean people. And their conversation swallows me up after a while, and it begins to show in me. And then I feel a coldness toward God. I feel a strangeness between me and God. And that scares me. I get scared. I don't want to be caught unaware. That great day of the Lord might happen, and I don't want to miss that great event of His coming. And so I want to be ready. What about you today? Do you want to be ready? Sister, come again, if you will, for just a minute. I'm going to give an invitation. I just feel like this morning that there may be somebody here that you're undecided about your soul. Oh, you may be fooling yourself and say, well, it's all right. But let me tell you something. Down deep in your heart, you know. Down deep, if you'll just admit it this morning, you'll know whether you're saved and whether your heart's saved, whether your soul is saved with God this morning, or whether there's some things you need to put out of your life. And you'll not put them out sitting on your seat. Amen. You have to do what the Bible says, come unto me. All you say, is he up there? We know, but it's an outward showing of your humility, amen, and your willingness to put those things out of your life. So we're going to stand and give you an opportunity to come and meet on an altar of prayer this morning. But if you need prayer for any reason, just get up and come right on down to an altar of prayer. Somebody will meet you here and pray with you. May God bless you as we're singing the song of selection. Give you an open door to come and worship with us. A good place to rest in the Lord.
You've been listening to the Bob Elk Tennessee Preaching Podcast, and I'm producer Matthew Lawson. If you'd like further information about this message, or any of our previous messages, or information about Retail Community Church, you can go to www.retailcommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. Our Microwave Raw Bible, our sound mixer, as well as blogger.com and archive.org for providing our hosting services. We do hope that you'll join us next time for another exciting message, and may God richly bless you.